He's a doctor, he's a professor, he's an evangelist, he's a Texan, he's a saint. But most of all, he's a worshiper. He's not going over his notes during worship. He's worshiping God. Hallelujah. And I believe that heaven's going to speak to us this morning. Amen. Tonight, you may not know this, tonight we're having church here at 6 o'clock. There'll be plenty of time for fireworks. Eat your slow pulled pork during the afternoon. But come tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Brother Littles has been so gracious to be with us tonight, and then he has to leave to drive to camp yet after the preaching so he could be there in the morning. So honor that, will you? Would you welcome Brother James Littles?
Praise the Lord, everyone. Lord, we magnify your name, for you are worthy to be praised. There is no name like your name. There is no healer like you, the healer. There is no redeemer like you, the redeemer. There is no life giver like you. There is no light like you. There is no darkness in you. We worship you and rejoice in your abundant goodness this day. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. What a delight it is for Sherry and me to be with you here this morning. This is one of our special homes away from home. If that's all right, we kind of feel like adjunct members here. And it's always a treat to be able to be here to worship with you as we serve the same King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Imagine how good it feels here this morning. What's heaven going to be like when we are face to face with Jesus? We still have things which separate us now, but on that day, we will be face to face with Him, and we will stand around the throne with brothers and sisters from the beginning. And even our brothers and sisters who don't have the freedom to worship this morning, like you and I have freedom to worship in ways which they are free to worship, they just can't make the noise that we can and do it publicly as we can. But what a delight to be here with you. I was trying to think earlier, Pastor Schumacher, how many times we've been here. It's been at least 10 years, I think. I know 8 years ago I had a bit of illness, and y'all were gracious to let me preach here the first time after I could stand again and read again and all of those kinds of things. So thank you all for being so kind and gracious down through the years. And when I found out I was coming to Wisconsin for camp meeting, I said, you know, this might be a chance to sneak into Racine. And y'all let me do that. So thank you so much for that. As you're turning with me to Exodus chapter 12, thank you, Brother and Sister Schumacher. What a treat to be in fellowship with folks like you and for this congregation. I write letters after I'm visited a church, and Brother Schumacher can tell you that that happens every time, but almost probably every one of those letters I have to put on there, the worship and the prayer are so dynamic today, speaks powerfully not only to their leadership, but to your faithfulness, and of course, ultimately, to the faithfulness of an almighty God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that when you call, He answers? When you call, He answers. We sang a song this morning that said, open the windows of heaven. I want you to know, windows open. Amen. Windows open. Now, there are probably two or three people left in the room. You have your blessing deflector up, okay? You have a blessing deflector up, an umbrella, deflecting all the Lord's blessings. So I just want to encourage those two or three people in the room who still have your blessing deflector up, just put your umbrella down and let his blessings just wash over you. Amen. It won't hurt too much. It won't hurt too much. As a matter of fact, you will be tremendously blessed by his abundant goodness. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 28. Exodus 12, 21 through 28. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Now, the last time we heard from the elders was a complaint. Before you got here, they provided a straw, and now they're not giving us straw anymore. So we haven't heard from the elders until this point. And Moses now, before plague number 10, comes to the elders. Draw out and take you a lamb according to the families and kill the Passover. You'll take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. And this is in the basin. And strike the lintel and the two side posts in the blood that is in the basin. And none of you will go out of the door of the house. Stay inside until the morning, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, will not suffer the destroyer to come in to your houses to smite you. And you will observe this thing for an inheritance to you and to your sons and daughters forever. It shall come to pass when you will come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he has promised that you will keep this service. It shall come to pass when your children will say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you will say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you ultimately are the Passover lamb. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have this day in your presence, and what a delight it is to know your abundant goodness. Your abundant goodness, your abundant goodness, O Lord. We delight in that even now and know that you delight in our worship. And we are so thankful, O Lord, that you don't tolerate us, but you love us. You don't put up with us. You find joy in us, and we celebrate your abundant blessings even now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Since today is 4th of July, I thought we might talk about freedom a little bit. Let freedom ring. I mean, really. Let freedom ring clearly. We are in the presence of the Almighty God this morning as we have worshiped him. The human quest for freedom is fundamental to what it is to be human. Adam and Eve in the garden wanted to be free. They wanted to be free. They had all the food just for the picking. That relationship with each other and with God. I don't think there were any mosquitoes in the Garden of Eden. If so, they too were not blood suckers. Adam and Eve eating of trees and not things. And if there were mosquitoes, they must have sucked life out of plants and not animals. But even in that condition, Adam and Eve wanted to be free. Free from one rule. You know, there are days I wish I could be free from needing to eat. I could save a whole lot of money. Days I wish I could be free from energy costs, whether it's air conditioning in the summer or heating in the winter. There are all kinds of things from which we would like to be free. The problem is we don't know when we are free. And our human nature, we do not know what it is to be free. Erich Fromm was a survivor of the Holocaust as a Jew, and he wrote a book after he survived that horrific incident that killed more than 6 million Jews. The title of his book was Escape from Freedom. He says most people live their lives, instead of running towards freedom, they live their lives running from freedom. They keep busy. They keep finding new occupations. They keep trying to learn new things and avoid the liberty of truly being free in the condition God made them and formed them. He and others of the Holocaust said that they weren't the ones who were bound in the concentration camps. They said the guards were more bound than they were. So freedom has nothing to do with whether there are walls around you, whether there are rules around you. Freedom has to do with something else. I celebrate the opportunity to live in a nation like ours, and I too enjoy pulled pork and other kinds of delectables. I too enjoy looking out the window and seeing the fireworks, and if family's around, like being there and feeling the concussion on my chest as those big booms go off, celebrating our nation's freedom. So many of us live in a country that has suffered deeply over the last couple of years looking for freedom, and even some people will even burn down their own neighborhoods seeking to be free. People will go on hunger strikes seeking to be free. All kinds of efforts. Kids will leave their mama and join the Marines so they can be free. I'll show mom I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to join the Marines. All right, we'll find out. I've never been to a Marine boot camp. I had the privilege to walk at a couple Army boot camps as a chaplain, and seeing that those boys who thought they were getting away from mama knew nothing until a drill sergeant was banging that campaign hat into their forehead and all the kinds of bumbling that would go on at that point. This morning, we have an opportunity to celebrate and let freedom truly ring and ring clearly. America, although it has many, many freedoms, I am sad to say this morning that America doesn't know what freedom bell rings like. Freedom in being totally independent from others, as we heard this morning, is not how freedom rings. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia has a big crack in it, and they tried to fuse it together. Most people's liberty ringers are off. I am so thankful this morning we stand in the, now you, I stand, y'all sit. We are here in the presence of the ultimate freedom giver. He came so that you and I could truly be free. As we read this text today, we see this freedom from Exodus that God had given his chosen people who were in captivity, if you will. They were bound. Their little boys were thrown into the Nile River, and they had heard the screams of those mamas over time. We know from earlier in the book of Exodus that God called Moses to carry the word to Pharaoh. And here was the word to Pharaoh: let my people go. Moses didn't write those words. He didn't sit down and come up with those. He was just minding sheep on the other side of the wilderness. But God called him and said, Moses, this is the word I have for you. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And this time, Moses, we're going to do it my way, not your way. 40 years before, Moses had an inclination to somehow bring his people out, but Moses' personal best was never good enough. I need to let someone know here this morning, it's not your goodness that sets you free. It's his mercy that sets you free. It's not your ability that breaks every chain, and we sing and we worship, but ultimately, he is the one who, as we worship him, he's the one who breaks every chain and breaks every wall down. We sang about Joshua and the children of Israel marching around those walls 6 days once and 7 times on the 7th day, but the marching didn't bring the walls down. A faithful God is the one who brought the walls down. And if you are not hearing freedom clearly ring this day, I want to remind you that there is only one freedom giver, and his name is Jesus. Moses, God chose you and God empowered you, and he's asking you, Moses, what's in your hand as a sign? And Moses cast down the staff and it became a snake. And then later, what's your hand itself? Put it in his jacket and brought it out. Leprous and then not leprous. Cool tricks, but cool tricks don't bring freedom. As I've told you before, I'm so slow, I didn't graduate till I was 42. Okay, that's how slow I am. Most of you graduated 18 or 22. It took me till I was 42 to graduate from school. I've never yet seen a university that can set a mind free. No politician that can set your spirit free. There's no amount of money. I don't have a whole lot, but I've known a few people with a little bit of cash, and their cash doesn't set them free. I was sitting at a table after church in Michigan one service, and a gentleman slid his keys to his Dodge that had that Hellcat engine in it, and he said, "Jim, take this for a ride." And I said, "I don't think I can handle 600 horsepower or whatever it is." I slid the keys back to him. You can't drive fast enough. You can't fly high enough. You can't ingest enough stuff to get high in other ways to be free. There's only one freedom giver, and his name is Jesus. You see, when Jesus comes, he doesn't let you pick the plan. He always picks the plan. For you see, for them to be set free from Egypt, he had to bring down all other gods. You see, the thing that binds you up today is not stuff, it's what you worship. It's the worship of the stuff that binds you. I've seen arrogant people, arrogant by education, arrogant by body size and shape, arrogant by finances, arrogant by legacy of how many generations they could count back to a certain boat that came across on the ocean. Arrogance in all kinds of forms. If you want to be free, all of that has to be thrown away and worship God and God alone. So the 10 plagues came to Egypt at Moses' hand, and all of them confronted the gods of Egypt. They were pantheists. They believed that the God of life was in everything, kind of like a Native American spirituality, that the Spirit of God is in everything. Therefore, everything in some form or shape can be worshiped and celebrated. And I too believe life alone comes from God, but God is not in the cow. Okay? Therefore, bring on the brisket. Each of the gods of Egypt was confronted, because Moses would come to Pharaoh after a plague and he says, "You're going to let my people go because you know what they need to do?" Now, notice, you would think they've been slaves for several hundred years. They need a rest from the whip. That's not what Moses said. You would think they would need escape from the oppression of the taskmaster. That's not what Moses said. You would think they would need their own home. No, that's not what they need to do. Here's what Moses said. My people need to go because they need to worship their God. You see, the bondage wasn't the taskmaster. The loss of worship was the taskmaster. It's been way too long since they've known how to worship. It's been way too long since they felt a freedom to sacrifice to God like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had done. Used to, as I was reading through those passages, I would think, now that's a tricky thing, Moses. You are saying they're worshiping you, but you're really taking these slaves out of Egypt. I finally realized those are both the same thing. To not be enslaved is to worship the God that redeems you. One day, my dad, who was my pastor at the time, I was his co-pastor with him, He sent me to care for a lady with rheumatoid arthritis. This was back before many of the medications that we have now, and she was all crippled up. Her hands were crippled up. Her legs were frozen in place. All she could do was lay in the bed, and at 23, that wasn't the most exciting task my dad gave me to do, was to go teach a Bible study. But in obedience, I did so. But I found out within a few weeks of teaching that Bible study, I was the one learning, not the lady in the bed. Because the lady in bed realized she was free to worship. I was in bondage because I saw the life crippled in the bed as one not worth living. I was the one in bondage. I was the one who couldn't hear freedom bells ring. She was able to call on the name of the Lord in whatever condition she found herself. She was free in the bed. I walked in bondage, but she lived free every single day. I need someone to hear this morning. Your health is not limiting your freedom. Your disease in your body, your finances are not hindering your freedom. A child that has chosen to walk with God is not hindering your freedom. Abuse on the job because of race or gender or you're not the boss's grandson, whatever has hindered your advancement on the job, that's not what's keeping freedom from ringing. The only thing that keeps freedom from ringing in you is choosing, I'm going to worship one God and one God alone. I'm not going to worship my health. I'm not going to worship my home. I'm not going to worship my children. I'm not going to worship my career. I'm not going to worship my nation. I worship Jesus. Nobody else gets my praise. Nobody else gets my honor, and I trust where he has me. I trust where he has me is where he wants me to be. Exodus 21, it tells the story multiple times throughout this chapter, the tasks that they were to do. But God had a plan to set them free. God generally uses a plan you would not use. I would not use lamb chops as a freedom plan. I would use underground organization. I would, in the night hour, I would encourage men to get together and strategize. How can we bring Pharaoh? How can we wreck the economy? How can we destroy them? How can we go in the night hour and destroy their reserves and mess up their chariot horses? How can we do that? No, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you all to get together and have a meal. And I want you to eat this meal with your staff in your hand. I want you to pick out one lamb. If your family's big enough to eat the whole thing, one lamb for your house. If your family's not big enough to eat the whole thing, then find a couple neighbor households that can consume, because we're not going to leave anything for tomorrow. Two principles in place. There's going to be enough for everybody, and there's going to be nothing left over, because tomorrow we're out of here. So as you take apart the lamb, as you receive the blood into a bowl and you get the bitter herbs and you dip it in the blood and you take it there and you strike it on the doorpost, the top and down the sides, I want you to know this night is going to be different than every other night that you've known before, because yesterday you were bound, but tomorrow you're free. Yesterday you belong to somebody else, but tomorrow you remember you belong to me. This changes everything. So while you're eating, keep your shoes on. I don't know how many of you had a mama like mine, but when you walked in my mama's house, you took your shoes off. Anybody else? She had the same light blue carpet for 25 years. The only thing she had to do with it is every 10 years, whether it needed or not, is hire the carpet layer to come in and stretch it again, because that carpet was still baby blue. Why? Because when you come to mama's house, you take off your shoes. For Israel, that might have been it in the past, but this meal We eat with the staff in the hand, and we eat with the shoes on our feet, because there's an expectation beginning to grow inside of us. We are no longer slaves. This night, the God that brought the frogs is bringing something else. This night, the God who brought the darkness is bringing something else. This night, the God who brought the lice is bringing something else. A holy anticipation is going on. I don't know there was any sleeping going on that night. How do you sleep when everything's about to change? I'm sure a hand got a little weary of holding the staff. For me, eating is a two-hand occupation. That corn on the cob takes two hands to rotate it. Got to have a knife and a fork. I got to have the glass in one hand of iced tea or whatever it might be, and I got to be ready to take it down. I got two hands, and both of them get used while I'm eating. Even Kentucky Fried Chicken is finger licking good. You better watch out for your fingers, because I enjoy. Israel was eating that night like she had not eaten for 430 years. You see, they went into Egypt to avoid a plague, a drought. They went into Egypt to survive. They were leaving Egypt to worship. Can I say that again? They went into Egypt because they were afraid of dying. They went out of Egypt because they were ready to worship. There's somebody in the house this morning. You find your place driven there by all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of needs, and even dreams perhaps that didn't come from God. But I want to remind you, there's a way out of here. It's a way towards worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So put a staff in your hand and get your shoes all laced up, because we're headed someplace, church. We're headed where freedom clearly reigns. Blood is on the door, staff is in the hand, shoes is on the feet, and don't leave the house till it's morning. Oklahoma folks are called Sooners. You know why? Because when the Indian territories were opened up for white folk to go claim some land, there were folks who went sooner than they were supposed to. So their college team is known as the Sooners, named after a bunch of cheaters. That's what an Oklahoma Sooner is. It's a cheater. Stay in the house until it's morning. I know you might get some ideas that you can get a head start and you're going to do this thing your way, but I got everything mapped out. I got everything planned. And trust me, my work is going to be done on Egypt in the morning, and my work's going to start on you in the morning. Would you let me do what I'm going to do to bring down things which bind you, so now I can set you truly free? Let freedom ring clearly. Let freedom ring clearly. I'm begging with someone here this morning. Jesus tells us you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. But we have to put down our love of finances and our love of well-being, our love of energy, all the things that we love, and put our affections on the King alone. That's when freedom rings clearly. Clear. Brother Littles, you don't understand where I am. I don't, but God does. Brother Littles, it's been a tough, tough year. It may have been a tough, tough year, but God knows exactly where you are. And 2020 and the first half of 2021 is not what hinders your freedom. What hinders our freedom is we have chosen to focus energy on things that are other than the one who is worthy to be worshipped. Yes, we have jobs, and yes, we have family, and yes, we may have health crises, but freedom still rings clearly to those who worship. Moses told the people of Israel, remember this unleavened bread, and you're going to celebrate this every single spring of unleavened bread. It's going to happen in the middle of the month. It's going to happen when the moon is full. You're going to remember. They had lunar months, so you're going to remember when the moon is full in that month. That is Passover Day. The moon is full so that you can see what's going on, so that you can prepare through the evening, getting ready to celebrate freedom. And there's going to be a child in that Passover meal that's going to ask, why are we doing this service? Why are we doing this form of meal? Why are we worshiping this way? It's going to serve as a reminder for all of your generations to come. We serve this meal because God set us free. Brothers and sisters, you need some things in your life that's a reminder that freedom clearly rings even right now. There is nothing that can crack liberty's bell, can take out his clapper, because whom the Son has set free, whom the Son has set free, who can take away your freedom? There is none can take away our freedom. I am thankful for the Bill of Rights. I am thankful that it says I have the freedom to worship. But the Bill of Rights is not what gave me freedom to worship. There was some bloodshed, not by Continental Army, but some bloodshed by Jesus Christ on the cross sets us free. This is why we worship together in song. This is why you need a place in your home where you read God's word. This is why you need some time to call on his name. This is why you need an opportunity as your children are going to bed or your grandbabies are going to bed. Read them stories about Joseph. Read them stories about Daniel. Read them stories about men and women of faith. Read them stories about Deborah, who was not shaken when other folks were shaken. You want your young lady to be strong? Don't read her story about a golden awardee from the Olympics. Instead, read a story about Mary, who was highly favored by an amazing God. Your children are destined to be free. But you can't tell them their freedom's going to come from a fine education and freedom from by worshiping Jesus. You're not going to tell them they're going to be free because they're Americans and because we worship Jesus. They're not free because of, and then list all of the things people depend on. Those things aren't your freedom. Those things are your jail keepers. Because there's nothing wrong with a cow unless you start worshiping the cow. There's nothing wrong with a spouse until you worship the spouse. Nothing wrong with children until you worship the child. Anything that you put above Jesus robs freedom. And anyone here this morning that is a Christian on Sunday and something else on Tuesday, you're not truly free. As a matter of fact, you're the most bound. Greatest lack of freedom is where people have it, but they don't utilize it. When we know Jesus, but we worship other things side by side with Jesus, that's where the least freedom exists. They responded to the command. Notice what they did. When they heard Moses finish telling what they were going to do that day and for all generations to come, even right now, Jews on Passover, take this to heart. Jewish mamas, week before Passover, that's when they do their spring cleaning. Every speck of dust has to be out of the house. Every speck of yeast has to be out of the house. Any kind of decay has to be out of the house, because yeast is a form of decay that happens in the bread. So the house has to be completely clean. Why? Because on this night we were set free, and no Hitler and no anti-Jewish movement can bind us and keep us slaves, because we were set free on that day. They bowed their head and they worshiped. And then Scripture says they did everything that Moses and Aaron commanded. Wow, what a dynamic story when we realize that in the morning there was wailing in all Egyptians' houses, but in Jewish houses there were doors being closed for the last time. We're out of here. We just got finished eating the last piece of lamb. We just finished eating the last piece of bread. We're going now. We're marching out of here now. We're going to worship in the wilderness. We're going to praise our Redeemer. You would think freedom would clearly ring from then on. You would think that if you saw your husband or your wife taking off their shirt or their blouse, ready for a bath, and you saw those welts on their backs from yesterday's abuse, you would think, watching your wife weep night after night for the baby boy that she never got to see growing up, you would think that would set you free for good. But brothers and sisters, how quickly we lose our worship. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 32. In between, there were some minor tests. They had the Red Sea to cross. They had a place of no water and a place of bitter water. They had questions about food. They had all kinds of challenges along the way. And then they get to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is God's greatest revelation point in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, Mount Sinai is the greatest point of revelation. And the reason it's the greatest point of revelation says, I want to build a tabernacle so that I can live with you. And I'm going to write my laws on two stones. I'm going to put 10 commandments on one stone and the 10 commandments on the other stone. Most scholars don't think it was 5 and 5, but we think it was 10 and 10. Just like when you buy a house, you sign a copy for them and you sign a copy for you. They take their copy home and you take your copy home. Yahweh was saying, I'm going to make a covenant with you and I'm going to make two copies of it. And guess what? I'm going to leave both copies in the same box because we're going to live forever. Forever. We're going to live together as one, God with his people. I'm going to dwell among you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. So both copies of the covenant are going to go in the same box. I'm going to teach you how to live different from the world, separated from the world. And this is why Mount Sinai is the greatest of revelation in the Old Testament. And then we read in Exodus 32, verse 1 and following, and when the people saw that Moses delayed, freedom stopped ringing because Moses delayed. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, disagreements whether they're gathering with Aaron or against Aaron. In any case, Aaron says, as we will see, said unto him, up, make us gods. If I just had more money, I could be happy. Gods. If arthritis wasn't in my back, then I could worship. And when I say worship, I don't mean you have to be able to dance and shout like the little lady in the bed. She could worship without being able to raise an arm. It's an attitude. It's a commitment to him. I could be satisfied if I wasn't abused by society. No, society's not a problem. It's worshiping the wrong things. I'm against racism. I'm against sexism. I'm against all forms of abuse that society can do, but governments can't fix it. Only the blood of Calvary can fix it. Make us gods that'll go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Aaron said unto them, break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, bring them to me. All the people broke off the golden earrings which were on their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel. Freedom stopped ringing. Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow we feast to Yahweh. Yahweh already gave you your feast. Yahweh told you every year you're going to party hardy on Passover because it's a reminder, I set you free. Moses was obeying my voice, but Moses didn't make you free. I hope this morning I'm preaching somewhat of the word from the Lord, but I'm not the one that can set you free. He alone can set you free. They said, "Where's Moses? We have no hope for tomorrow." How can you say that? You tasted freedom a scant 2 months ago. You tasted freedom. Can the pain of bondage be lost from your memory in 2 months? Can you get bored of freedom in 2 months? Evidently, freedom gets boring when you stop worshiping the one who set you free. Anybody in here been freed from alcohol? Can I see some hands? Just keep those up. Anybody in here freed from drugs? Just keep a hand up. Keep them up. Anybody been freed from a quest for finances and wealth? The Lord's freed you from that? All kinds of freedom. Anybody been freed from some mental and psychological challenges because hope was gone? Anybody been freed mentally and emotionally? There's some freedom in the house, but brothers and sisters, don't get bored with being free. Don't get bored with being free. Don't get bored with being alive. The demoniac in the a graveyard. You know what he did every night to prove he was alive? He'd grab a stone and cut himself, slicing himself because he needed to know he was alive. There are some people in our world today that cut themselves for the same reason. Every couple of years it goes through a cycle again, particularly with young ladies becoming cutters because of the need to know that they're alive. Evidently, freedom gets boring if it's not filled with God's purpose. I see some Christians who get bored with Jesus. I've been to church 20 years, twice on Sunday, at least before COVID. Been to Bible study, taught Sunday school, but somewhere along the line, Jesus got boring. I've seen marriages where couples were happily married for 25 years. Well, on balance, happily married, a little bit of dippity-doo-dahs along the way. But they decided they were bored with their spouse and started looking around. Brothers and sisters, even good things get boring. But the only way it stays truly free is that you and I decide, I will worship him and I will worship nothing else. Nothing becomes between us and Jesus. Now, I must confess to you, you will experience the temptation to go back on freedom. You will experience the temptation to find another God and say, this is where my happiness rests. There are some foodies. There's probably none here, but I run into foodies some places where I travel. Foodies' pleasure is finding that next place to eat. Now, my poor princess knows that on Thursdays when we go out for lunch, not dinner, because lunch is cheaper. My day off so I can do lunch. She can confess. Now, the sad thing about Jim and cheap lunch on Thursdays is he doesn't want to travel more than 7 miles to do it. Because I'm not a foodie. I know some folks that will get in a car and drive for 2 hours because they heard of a great meal. No. No, that's never, ever, ever going to happen. Because that's not my God. But I have to be careful. Because there are some things. If I just had one more of, if I could just go, if I could just do, anytime you can fill in the blank with, I could be happy if. And Jesus isn't in the blank. Freedom's lost its ringer. I could be happy if I had the job. I could be happy if I was married or if I wasn't married to that one. I could be happy if, I could be happy if, and if the blank isn't filled with Jesus. But I'm here telling you this morning, whether you know it or not, you're on the border ground of losing your freedom. Oh, I've seen you all worship here. The last 10 years or so, I've been enthralled by your worship, not generated by acoustical forces, but of a passion for Christ. But if you got anything in that blank this morning that says, I could be free if, and Jesus isn't in the blank, then you've lost the sound of freedom. I'm here this morning. Would you just let freedom ring? Would you let freedom ring? Would you confess, Jim, I was thinking I needed to feel good and to be happy. I remember my greatest joy is being in the presence of an almighty God. My greatest joy is knowing that nothing can make me free except for my greatest joy was receiving of His Spirit. My greatest joy was sharing that Jesus with somebody else in a Bible study. My greatest joy was praying with someone at an altar. My greatest joy was in the midnight hour, awakening because of a noise, and then remembering, oh, Jesus has got me. Everything's going to be all right. That's where my joy is. That's where my freedom is. Let freedom ring this 4th of July. Nothing goes in the blank except Jesus. Jesus alone gives me joy. Jesus alone gives me peace. Jesus alone gives me hope. We need a God we could see, they were saying. So they made Aaron's calf. Now, which is more valuable? One-year-old lamb or a golden calf? If you had to pick this morning, if you could take one of them home, which would you take? A one-year-old lamb or a calf of gold? I want you to know freedom rings when you choose the lamb over the gold. Freedom rings when you realize it's the blood of the lamb that protects and heals and cleanses. Gold will always fail you and will always let you down. And there's only a limited amount of gold, and somebody's going to come and take it from you. But when you've been feasting on the lamb, you realize there's always going to be enough. There's always resources where that came from. Always going to be enough. Always going to be enough. Oh, don't wait till tonight to feel Jesus. There's always going to be enough. Oh, don't delay freedom's ring. Now's the time to let freedom ring. I've got joy in my spirit, and it comes from Jesus. I got peace in my heart, and it only comes from the Lord. There was a freedom failure. They didn't trust the God who brought them out to take them in. Now we rejoiced when we were baptized. Can anybody remember their baptism day? I can remember mine, even though it was long. It was in the last millennium. Johnson was president, not Andrew. Johnson was president. That's a long time ago. And I was a little lad. This morning I still celebrate. I've been baptized in His name. I'm free today because there's been a name placed on me. I'm free today because He who the Son has set free is free. John 1:29, Jesus, his cousin seeing him, John the Baptist seeing Jesus said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Our world is racked by sin. I wish our world could behold the Lamb of God. Doesn't matter who they elect for the White House. They don't have an answer. And brothers and sisters, if your emotions are destroyed or brought up based on who's in the White House, then you've lost freedom's ringer. I believe as members of a republic, we have a responsibility to vote and to vote well. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ and a member of the kingdom, we have no cause to find our joy or loss of joy based on human governments. Our joy comes from the Lord only. Our joy comes from the Lord only. I'm thankful for my nation. I'm thankful to celebrate the 4th of July. But my joy doesn't come from an American flag. My joy comes from Jesus. You see, we have the capacity to trade in the lamb for gold any day of the week. We have the capacity to say, the lamb is not here. I need something else to help me out. You need nothing else to help you out. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus, speaking in John 8:36, says, if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring, but let it ring clearly. Don't put your freedom in anything less than Jesus. If you worship something else, then you surrender yourself to that thing. You're either going to worship the golden calf and lose your freedom, or you're going to worship the Lamb of God and you're going to experience freedom that's not deterred by circumstances around you. And besides that, brothers and sisters, we're not staying here forever. I got a staff in my hand, and one of these days I'm going to experience the conclusion of the freedom. Israel was not free by coming out of Egypt. She still had promises to walk into the promised land, and there were still giants to walk there. But soon we are going to be caught away to be in His presence forever. I got a staff in my hand. I'm not staying here forever. But while I'm here, while I'm here, there's only one meal I want to really celebrate, and that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let's stand together, shall we? That calf, that lamb that they slaughtered, prepared them for the Red Sea. We can go through the Red Sea because we were delivered from Egypt. We can find a way to trust in Him when our water is bitter or our water is gone. We're going to learn. Why? Because we're going to keep worshiping Him until we do. I have some questions in my spirit this morning. Some spiritual questions in my spirit. Anyone else have some questions for God that He's not answered for you yet? Honesty works here. Anybody got some God questions you don't have the answer to? Let me tell you, here's the only way to keep moving when you got that question. Worship Him one more time and let freedom clearly ring. My question doesn't own me. I surrender in my worship to Jesus. Lord, maybe You'll answer that question someday. But until then, I'm going to worship the Lamb. Until then, I know who has set me free, and I am free indeed. Tonight, Lord willing, if He hasn't taken us home before then, and Pastor still wants me to preach, going to preach on holding on to hope until you go all the way through. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But we can't set up hope until we've worshiped Him, until we've surrendered to Him. And by worshiping Jesus now, we're saying, I turn off all other worship. Can't worship Jesus. Can't have the Lamb of God and the golden calf. Part of the tragedy is they called the golden calf Yahweh. Right? We will put Jesus' name on stuff. Protestant work ethic is an example. I'll work really hard and I'll make money, and therefore I'll prove that I'm a child of God. You put God's name on stuff doesn't make it holy. So this morning we have a couple of altar calls. If you don't live your life for worshiping him, if you've never yet been filled with the Spirit or baptized in his name, then come to this altar right now on Freedom Sunday and let freedom clearly ring. Maybe you've prayed before and not received the Spirit. Would you come and trust? But when you call on his name, he will be here. He will fill you with his Spirit. Why? Because he's the Lamb of God. And he takes away the sins of the world. That includes yours. Or maybe you've been away for a while and your heart's been cold and you've not worshiped in a long time, but you just find yourself here this morning. I also invite you to come. Say, Lord, I repent of my coldness. I'm tossing all my idols out. Gold is gone. Other resources gone, and I trust you alone. Wait another moment or two for this first altar call. Lord Jesus, you know who's in this room that needs your Spirit. You know who's in this room that has been far from you. Instead of worshiping you in a day-to-day life, you bring conviction in the Spirit that has hope. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. The Spirit is here right now. The Spirit is here right now. He will not withhold his Spirit from you if you come hungry to worship him alone. He will not withhold his Spirit. He will not withhold his Spirit. The second altar call is for those who want to come and hear freedom a little more clearly. Lord Jesus, we put down everything else. Lord, I've worshiped you this morning with my brothers and sisters. But Lord, I've let one of my questions crop up. I've given it too much attention. I let that question rob some of my worship. I've let the question own a little bit of me. So right now I bring that question. If you want to answer it, I'll receive the answer. But until you do, I put the question on the altar. And I retire it right now as an object of my worship. Lord, I've been bothered in my health. Been bothered in my finances. Been bothered by being disrespected. I've been bothered by shame that I have done or shame someone else has done to me. Right now, I come and surrender that to you. Lord, I've been worshiping my job or my career. I've been worshiping a home that I'd like to have or a car that I would like to have or a vacation that I'm looking forward to as a primary point of enjoyment. Right now, I surrender all of that to you. I want freedom to clearly ring. Freedom only comes from Jesus. My joy only comes from the Lamb of God. My hope only springs from you. In Jesus' name I pray. All right, church, let's worship him and worship him alone. I surrender all, Lord Jesus. I surrender everything that I have to you. I surrender every longing, every desire, everything. I give it away. And in its place, oh Lord, I surrender my worship to you alone. Freedom rings. I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. Nothing's going to hinder my worship because I am free.